truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, John chapter 18. Jesus is being interviewed by Pilate, and he says to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I'm a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Well, we want to talk about truth today. The name of the program is Real Truth for Today. And here's my question. How do you see and view the world? Do you see the world through the lens of Scripture, through the lens of the Bible, or do you see the world through the lens of culture? You know, how you view the world is your world view. You'll hear a lot in culture today about a world view. How do you view the world? Do you view it through the lens of Scripture, or do you view it through the lens of culture? Now, I hold in my hands this morning a great, great publication. It's a monthly publication from American Family Association called The Stand. And they produce this every month. And it is a wonderful magazine filled with great articles and news pieces and things to help you and your family stay connected. You can get it online. But I like to get the actual print copy because I just read it better when it's in my hands and I can look at all the pictures easily and it's just right there. And well, in the August edition of The Stand, right in the middle, it has an article. It says this: "Survey tracks biblical worldview among U.S. adults." And the question on the subtitle, "How do you see the world?" Well, George Barna, who is a nationally known researcher, Dr. George Barna, he has this cultural research center. He comes up with seven cornerstones of a biblical worldview. You know, we used to use the term a Christian worldview, but Christian has become so watered down by people that want to be adjective Christians. You know, I'm a gay Christian, I'm a transgendered Christian, I'm an adulterous Christian, I'm a this Christian, that Christian. Hey, you're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. There are no adjective Christians. But Barna, so we don't call it a Christian worldview anymore, we call it a biblical worldview. And George Barna came up with seven cornerstones that are the pillars for a biblical worldview. Number one, one must possess an orthodox biblical understanding of God. Orthodox is what the church fathers in those early councils said about God. The Nicene Creed in the 400s. That is a good creed that some churches will read that creed. This is what they think about God. Let me find it here so you have an orthodox view. Let's see, Nicene Creed of God. And that was in the Council of Nicaea. And so we have it here somewhere. It is, it's important. Well, I'll find it. I'll tell it to you. I thought it would come up easily on a Google search, but it didn't. Anyway, I'll get that for you. I'll share it with you, but let's move on. So one must possess an orthodox biblical understanding of God. Number two, all human beings are sinful by nature, and choices have moral considerations and consequences. Number three, the consequences of sin can only be forgiven and eliminated through faith in Jesus Christ. And forgiveness is available only by personal acknowledgement, that is key, and confession and complete reliance on His grace. Number four, the entire Bible is true, reliable, and relevant, making it the best moral guide for every person in all situations. It is the moral guide. I would probably change the best to just, it is the moral guide from God to people. Number five, absolute moral truth exists, and those truths are defined. Those truths are defined by God, described in the Bible, and are unchanging. The ultimate purpose of human life, number six, is to know, love, and serve God with all of one's heart, mind, and strength. And number seven, success on earth is best understood as consistent obedience to God in thoughts, words, and action. So that is the seven, according to George Barna, the seven cornerstones of a biblical worldview. Now, this is what the research found. Percentage of adults who embrace the cornerstones. 80% over age 29 embrace at least one of the seven cornerstones. 3% over age 29 embrace all seven cornerstones. 3%. 10% of ages 18 to 29 embrace at least one cornerstone. So the younger generation, we have not done a good job of passing the baton from the older generation to the younger generation, because we go from 80% embracing at least one, 29 years of age and upward, to now just 10%, 18 to 29, embracing one of the seven cornerstones. And 1% of ages 18 to 29 embrace all seven cornerstones. So not a whole lot of difference there when you talk about all seven, regardless of the age. 3% age 29 and above embrace all seven cornerstones, and only 1% ages 18 to 29 embrace all seven cornerstones. Adults who embrace a biblical worldview from 2020 to 2023, when you compare the two, 32% fewer adults hold to a biblical worldview. And adults who believe in absolute truth, it's down from 32% to 25%. 2020 to 2023. Well, what is your worldview? Do you have a biblical worldview? You know, what we're finding in churches is many of them, the reason that they're sliding into the liberal abyss, so to speak, is that they are viewing the culture through the lens of the culture. And they're not viewing the world through the lens of Scripture. They're viewing the world through the lens of culture. And J. Bud Zelowski, my son-in-law and an engineer here in Texarkana, he came up with the creed that I was looking for. It was in 325 A.D. I stand corrected. I put it in the 400s, 325 A.D. And the Nicene Creed, it says this: "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten from the Father, only begotten, that is, from the substance of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father." Now, they were really emphasizing that because Arius, who was a liberal and a heretic, he was saying there was a time when he was not, saying that Jesus Christ was not fully God in the flesh. And so he said that there was a time when he was not, Jesus was not eternally God. And so the council at Nicaea said that is heresy, and they came up with the Nicene Creed. So he is from the substance of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things came into being, things in heaven and things on earth. Jesus is Creator God. John 1 makes that clear. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Who, because of us men and because of our salvation, came down and suffered incarnate. He became and became incarnate and became man and suffered. Incarnate just means with flesh. When you have chili con carne, that means chili with meat. And so He took on flesh and He became a man and He suffered and rose again on the third day and ascended to the heavens and will come to judge the living and the dead and in the Holy Spirit. But as for those who say there was when He was not, that's Arius, and before being born He was not, and that He came into existence out of nothing, or who assert that the Son of God is of a different hypostasis or substance or created or is subject to alteration or change, these the Catholic and Apostolic Church anathematizes, that let them be eternally condemned. So the Catholic, the word Catholic means general. So at that time, 325, there weren't denominations. There was just the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the general church, and they called it the Catholic Church. These, the Catholic general and apostolic church anathematizes. So if you hold to that view, this heretical view that Jesus Christ is less than God, well, then you're barking up the wrong tree, and you've believed another gospel, and you've put your faith in another Jesus whom we have not preached. The Jesus of the liberal is not the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus of the Bible is Creator God, eternally God, the second person of the Trinity. So, how do you see the world? Do you see it through the lens of Scripture, or do you see it through the lens of culture? Do you possess an orthodox biblical understanding of God? Now, when we talk about what's going on in church today, because many people, they'll email me and they'll say, hey, do you know, I just moved to this city. Do you know of a good, solid church? Because I've been to a couple churches and they're just not solid. If a church has the rainbow flag outside of the front door, don't go there. I mean, that's obviously a church that says, hey, we embrace the LGBTQIA+ agenda. So they are looking at the world through the lens of culture. Women in ministry, we hear that a lot. That's going around a lot. That's going around that issue in the Southern Baptist Convention. Women in, not in ministry per se, but women in the pastorate, because lots of women, God created women to minister in His name and to work and serve and make a difference. But women in the pastorate, women preachers, women pastors, that's an issue that the Bible is very clear on. So if you have a biblical worldview, you're saying, well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I don't have to rack my brain thinking about this, because the Bible is clear, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. It's just not going to be. The overseer is the husband of one wife. It's just male, 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 and that's the way God set it up. It doesn't mean males are better than females. It just means that's the way God designed it. And a man is the head of the household, and a man is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the man, and God has set man to be in the leadership position in the church, and the women were created. Adam, Eve was created to help the man. And so we have these issues, women in ministry, the LGBTQIA issue, social justice. That's a cultural thing. That's not a biblical thing. The idea that there are no absolutes, obviously. There are absolutes. The Bible is filled with absolutes, but we've adopted that as a culture. We've adopted Pilate's cynical question, what is truth? Not really wanting an answer, just cynically saying, there is no such thing as truth. And then evolution, the idea that we came from animals. As one pastor said, you teach young people that they came from animals, pretty soon they'll start acting like them. And we are seeing that today. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we're talking about a biblical worldview. So we're up against a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We started off the program saying, asking this question, how do you see the world? Do you see it through the lens of Scripture, or do you see it through the lens of culture? So many people today who call themselves Christians are viewing the world through the lens of culture. Now, I am one who believes that Genesis 1 and 2, how God made it all, is very clear, that He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And God created the world in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh. And I don't believe that a day is a geological time period. I don't believe a day is billions of years. I believe a day was a 24-hour day. God uses that term because He uses it in Exodus chapter 20, where He's talking about 6 days you shall labor, and the seventh is a Sabbath day's rest to the Lord. And He says, hey, because the Lord created heavens and the earth in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh. Well, that's not a geological time period there. He's comparing it to the work week. And so I just think that these people that believe in theistic evolution, ask yourself this question. If you were born on a deserted island, just mom and dad and you, and all you had to read was the Bible, and you didn't have any outside sources, would you ever read the Bible and come up with the idea that the world is billions of years old? Of course not. Of course not. You'd read the Bible and say, well, the Bible says this is how God did it. And I know there are scientists, Christian scientists. John Lennox is going to be on the program in a couple of weeks. And he's a lot smarter than I am. But I don't think you have to be super smart to just say, well, I just believe what the Scripture says. And it's encouraging to note that there are pastors out there who believe, like I do, that the Lord made it in 6 24-hour days, and the world looks, no doubt He made it mature, just like when He created Adam and Eve. They weren't infants. They were fully mature. And so I had a geology professor at UT one time when I had a degree that had a lot of geology to it, petroleum land management. And I was talking to him about evolution, and he said, well, if the Christian biblical account is true, then we would have to say the world looks much older than it actually is, you know, with carbon dating and things like that. You know, you have to have a reference point on the carbon dating for it to make sense. And if God made the world mature, then there's no way to trace it back. And so I thought that was an interesting comment. It looks much older than it is. And I said, well, of course, it looks much older than it is. Think about the water that Jesus turned into wine. How long does it take for grapes to become wine? For water to be turned into wine, if that person, when that headmaster drank it, said, this is the best wine we've ever had, and I don't believe it was intoxicating wine that the Lord made, it wouldn't make sense for the Lord to give a gift to the couple that was somewhere around 150 gallons of intoxicating beverage. That would be like, hey, I invited Jesus to my party and brought over 6 cases of Jack Daniels. That's not what it was. But here's the issue. How old was the wine when the headmaster drank it? Well, it was minutes old. Jesus just turned it into wine, from water to wine. Well, how long, if you scientifically process that out, how long does that take for a grape to grow on the vine and then to process that and to smash it and turn it into juice? How long does that take? Well, you can't do that in 30 seconds. That's going to take time. And so the Lord is not, He's not limited to time as we are. And so this idea that, well, we have to believe what the scientists tell us, and we have to jump on the bandwagon, not only as it relates to evolution, because so many Christian educators, especially in the college ranks and the PhD ranks, well, we have no seat at the table if we try and hold to a biblical a biblical idea of creation in 6 days, we'll get laughed out of the university. And so climate change, same thing. If you don't hold to that, well, you're an idiot. And 97% of the scientists agree. I like what one scientist who's in the 3%, he said about that. He said, listen, science isn't a vote. You don't say, well, we have a majority and 97% agree. Science is based on facts. It's not based on opinion. It's based on facts. And he said, why do you have all the studies that show that there's climate change? Because that's what the government is paying for. They're saying, we'll give you money if you come up with this result. And so people take the money and they then produce their results produce the evidence to match the results. That's not how science works. Science comes in with a blank slate. So we're not saying what we think this is going to be. We're going to study it and see where the evidence takes us. And so if you do it that way, you would know that climate change doesn't exist, and nobody needs to be afraid of that. A biblical worldview is so critical in today's world. And listen, just as the Barna report and their research found out, adults who embrace a biblical world, it's down 32% from 2020 to 2023. Our ranks are thinning, but that's okay. You know, the Lord in the book of Judges did that with Gideon. And he was going up against the Midianites, 135,000 Midianites. And Gideon had 32,000 men with him. The Lord said, you got too many. Tell all the people that if they're afraid to leave. And after the stampede, they had 10,000 left. I'm going off memory on my numbers here. And there we go. Okay, well, Lord, we just lost 22,000 soldiers. We were way outnumbered before, and the Lord says you still have too many. And you remember the story. They had to pick the dog lappers, the guys that lap water like a dog. That's the ones you want. And so they were down to 300 men. And the Lord says, now, that's the right amount. 300 against 135,000. Why does God want it to be like that? So he gets all the glory. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. God has chosen the weak things to confound the wise. God has chosen the foolish things, the weak things to confound the strong, the foolish things to confound the wise, the things that are not to confound the things that are, so that no one would boast before God. You think about the big face-off in 1 Samuel 17 with Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. Send me a man that we may fight together. Am I not the Philistine, and you, servants of Saul? Send me a man that we may fight together. Well, the one that should have gone is Saul. Saul was king. Saul was head and shoulders above everyone. Saul was the champion of the Israelites. Goliath is the champion of the Philistines. But Saul didn't have faith to go. And if Saul had gone, then it wouldn't have been the victory for the Lord. So who does he choose to go? Little David. Little 13, 14-year-old, 15-year-old David. Peach fuzz on his chin. God chooses him. Why? And what does David say to Goliath? When Goliath says, come to me, little boy, I'm going to break you up in pieces, feed you to the pigeons. And David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to cut off your head, and I'm going to feed the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. That's the attitude that we need to have. Although the ranks are shrinking of those who believe the truth and stand in the truth and maintain a biblical worldview, that's okay. You know, Noah was there, a preacher of righteousness, and he was preaching his heart out. Well, he was the only one, along with his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife. It doesn't tell us much about what the sons did, if they were preachers, but it says that Noah was, and he was swimming upstream for sure. He was on the narrow road that leads to life. And the narrow road, as one preacher said, comes right up the middle through the broad road. The broad road leads to destruction. And we feel the current of the broad road and the pressure of the broad road. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Hey, are you maintaining a biblical worldview? It is so important to keep saturating your mind with Scripture. And it's so important to have a quiet time, and it's so important to meditate on the Word of God, and it's so important to let the Word keep shaping you, because every day there is the pressure from the evil one. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the lap, is cradled in the lap, and lies in the power of the evil one. And he is pushing, God's allowing him to do it, but he's pushing this world further and further away from God, God's word, God's will, God's ways. And that's what you find in Romans chapter 1. God just says, okay, you don't want me, I'll just give you over. And we're given over to sexual immorality, we're given over to homosexuality, homosexual immorality, we're given over to a reprobate mind, a mind that does not function anymore. Let me give you an example of a mind that does not function anymore. I saw this today on Twitter. It's not called Twitter anymore. It's called X. But Colorado supermarket called King Soopers, S-O-O-P-E-R-S, King Soopers. They fired one of their employees because he filmed three shoplifters stealing. The amount I saw in a report was about $500 worth of store items. And this happened on Father's Day, June 18th at 6:40 p.m. And the guy didn't engage the people. He just filmed them. And he pulled the aluminum foil they had on their license tag so he could get their license and give that to the police. And the company fired him for breaking store policy, because their store policy says do not engage thieves. And even though he didn't engage them, his name was Santino Barola, he didn't engage them. He just videotaped them. He didn't try and tackle them or anything like that. But he said this: if something is happening right in front of me, I'm going to make it my business. They say, well, stay out of that. It's none of your business. Well, if it's happening right in front of me, I'm going to make it my business. But this gives you an idea of how upside down our world is today. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And you're going to fire a guy because he's trying to do his job? He's trying to protect and operate in the best interests of the store? How does the store stay in business if everybody just says, well, okay, we can, they don't do anything. Just get a shopping cart, load it up, and walk out the door. I mean, we are a nation definitely gone under, and we have a reprobate mind as a nation, a mind that no longer functions. And we don't see the world through the lens of Scripture as we once did. We see it through the lens of culture. And God forbid that comes into the church and that comes into the pulpit. So we need people today to stand up for truth and to say, thus says the Lord. We need pastors to have the courage to pray and say, Lord, give me boldness as the disciples prayed. Lord, grant your servants boldness to speak your word as we ought to speak. And we need to speak the truth and preach the truth in love, because we see that people are perishing without Jesus. And we have a passion and an urgency. Hey, just as Noah did, a preacher of righteousness, and when he told the world that God is going to destroy the world with a flood, and the only rescue is in the ark that I'm building. And that ark was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what do we do as Christians? We're ambassadors for Christ. We're pleading with people, be reconciled to God, because judgment is coming. And, you know, you might have companies that say, well, you can steal from us and we don't do anything about it. And local governments that say, yeah, we don't prosecute any thieves and people, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. And we just see this overrunning our nation. And so we don't throw up our hands and disgust and in despair. We say, as Adrian Rogers used to say, when everything is getting darker and darker and darker, we don't go around with headline hysteria saying, what is the world coming to? We lift up our eyes and we look to the sky and we say, praise the Lord, it's getting gloriously dark because the Lord Jesus is coming soon. He said, that he was going to come as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the man of Son of Man be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we live in a time where we need to stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross. We need to speak up and speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we're talking about a biblical worldview, seeing the world through the lens of Scripture and not seeing the world through the lens of culture. Culture is sliding into the abyss, and God's word is true, and the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about a biblical worldview. How do you see the world? That is your worldview. And a Christian, somebody who really knows the Lord and has the Holy Spirit living inside, we are to be people of the book, and we are to see the world through the lens of Scripture and view the culture through the lens of Scripture, and not vice versa. We don't see the Scripture through the lens of culture, and so many are doing that today, and it just destroys, because we get our true north from Scripture, not from culture. And if you get off, you've heard me say before, the 1 in 60 rule, 1 degree off. Pilots know if they're 1 degree off their flight plan, for every 60 miles they travel, they're going to be a mile off their destination, the 1 in 60 rule. And so we must keep Scripture as our centerpiece, as our true north, and we orient ourselves according to Scripture, not according to culture. Well, we're opening up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you as we've been discussing a Christian or a biblical worldview. We used to call it a Christian worldview, but can't really do that anymore because Christian means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so we have to keep it on the Bible. And we have said from the recent Barna report, adults who embrace a biblical worldview is down 32% in the last 3 years. 32% fewer adults hold to a biblical worldview. That's concerning. Now, let me just say this. In the Christian life, among brothers in the Lord who have a biblical worldview, that doesn't mean we're going to agree on every single point in Scripture. Good people can disagree, and you have to know what is a spine issue, what is a non-negotiable, and what is a rib issue. What is something that we can disagree on that doesn't break fellowship? Calvinism is one of those things that doesn't break fellowship. I have lots of friends who are Calvinists, and I don't believe like they do about their eschatology in terms of the tulip. But that doesn't mean we both put our faith and trust in Jesus. We both have a right Christology, and we both know that there is no salvation apart from repentance and faith. And those are rib issues. Those aren't spine issues. I ran across this story years ago. I was in a class in seminary. Calvin Miller was my professor for this class, and he told this story. Goes like this. I was walking across a bridge one day and I saw a man standing on the edge about to jump off. So I ran over and said to him, "Stop, don't do it." He said, "Why shouldn't I?" "Well, there's so much to live for." He said, "Like what?" I said, "Well, are you religious or are you an atheist?" He said, "Religious." I said, "Me too. Are you Christian or Buddhist?" He said, "Christian." I said, "Ah, me too. Are you Catholic or Protestant?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Ah, me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Wow, me too. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?" He said, "Baptist Church of God." I said, "Me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God?" He said, "Reformed Baptist Church of God." I said, "Me too. Wow. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1879 or Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915? He said, "Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915. And I pushed him off the bridge and said, "Die, you heretic scum." That's one of those things where we say we need to know the difference between a spine issue and a rib issue, a non-negotiable and a part of Scripture where people can see it, good people, godly people can see it differently. Eschatology is a big one. When is the rapture coming? That's not a spine issue. If you don't believe in a pre-millennial, pre-tribulation rapture, then we can't have fellowship. No. Issues relating to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, those don't have to be spine issues. Those can be rib issues. And so we have to be able to determine the difference. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And so we have a first-time caller, Larry from Mississippi, on the line. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I just want to tell you I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I listen to it every day. You're usually driving a lot, so really appreciate you. But my question has to do with the Trinity and the Church of Nicaea, or the meeting of Nicaea, that I was told that that's where the Trinity, the concept of the Trinity came from, that it was not anything in the first century or with the first century of apostles. It was not anything that they kind of agreed with, that it was came from that point. And maybe that you need to do a whole show on it, but I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, the Bible is very, very clear about the deity of Christ. And I think that was one of the things that was very difficult for the disciples. They didn't have a good understanding of the fact that Messiah was going to die. But I don't think they understood, nor did any of the other religious leaders understand, that Messiah was going to be God in the flesh. And so obviously the Scripture is very, very clear about the Trinitarian nature of God. Genesis 1:26, the very first chapter of the Bible. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Some have said, well, he's talking to the angels. The angels don't create anything. The angels are created beings. When God is speaking in Genesis 1:26, he's speaking inside of the Trinity. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image. Acts chapter 5, when we read about Ananias and Sapphira lying to Peter and to the disciples about their gift, and he said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is God." I had the privilege of preaching Sunday night at Unity Baptist Church in Hope, Arkansas, and I talked about Jesus calming the storm. And after he did, the disciples were amazed, and they said, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And they had seen Jesus do so much, but they didn't know he could calm the wind and the sea with a word. And then in Matthew chapter 14, a second experience they had on the Sea of Galilee in a storm where they were very afraid. And Jesus wasn't in the boat with them this time. He came to them walking on the water. And remember, Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter was walking on the water, and he was doing well till he saw the wind, and he became afraid, and he took his eyes off Jesus, began to sink. And Jesus said, he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus said, "Oh, if you have little faith, why did you doubt?" And he picked him up, and he carried him back into the boat. And it says when he got back into the boat, they worshiped him and said, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." They weren't questioning, "Who then is this?" They knew who this was. "You are the Son of God." And they worshiped him. Now they knew, you do not worship anyone but God. Worship, as it says in Revelation 19, when John saw the marriage supper of the Lamb and the angel that showed him those things, he was so overwhelmed, he bowed down to worship, and the angel said, "Don't do that. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so the Bible is very, very clear. And the men in Nicaea that were at that that council in 325 AD, they recognized that, and they recognized that Arius was trying to introduce heresy into the church, and they called him out as a heretic, and they said, "No, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, just as the scripture tells us." So I appreciate that, Larry, and I thank you for your call. Thank you for listening to the program. Thanks for your comment. Well, we have Mark on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for having me on, Pastor. I love your show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
I just had breakfast with a friend, and we were talking actually about creation, and that all his life he's believed that it was, you know, the earth was billions of years old and Big Bang Theory, all that. But just recently started studying Ken Ham and creation and all that. And he's come to believe that now, you know, the earth is, you know, a young earth that's 6,000 years old. And so, but his wife is a doctor. And of course the medical field is just kind of taught all these other things. And she obviously believes that it's evolution and billions of years old and everything. And he wants to tell his wife what he believes, but he's just kind of struggling to kind of tell her. Would this be a spine issue or a rib issue? I know a biblical worldview is obviously an issue that is, you know, a spine issue. We have to believe what the Bible says, but how should he approach this with his wife?
Yeah, great question, and I appreciate you calling in. I would, if that were my wife, I would want to talk to her about that and just say, you know, I've been doing some research on this, and I'm very convinced that that the Bible is true when it tells us about creation. And so I would introduce her to Ken Ham and the arguments that the strong biblical arguments that he makes. Henry Morris, also young earth believer, and just get her to read those things and see if they can have some good discussion about that. It's not a spine issue per se, where if I believe in theistic evolution, I can't be a Christian. It's not like that. But what it does do is it puts you on a track to say, I believe that science, when I run into a problem between scripture and science, I'm going with science. And so to me, that's the difficulty. This is how God said he made it. And as I said, if you grew up on a desert island with no outside influences, you would never, ever, ever come up with theistic evolution. You would say, well, this is how God said he did it. And, you know, for the longest time, you know, centuries, men believed that God created everything. And we didn't believe in billions and billions of years, and definitely didn't believe in evolution. That came about with Karl Marx in the 1800s. And so that's kind of how that works for me. And so I do think, Mark, that pastors need to stand up and speak the truth, and they need to know, thus says the Lord, and need to share that with their congregation, because I think people are afraid. They say, well, if I say I believe in Genesis, that God just spoke it into existence, and it happened just bam, like that, well, people are going to think I'm stupid, and I don't want to be laughed at or mocked. If you watch the documentary from about 10 years ago called Expelled with Ben Stein, No Intelligence Allowed, he calls out the universities for kicking out anybody that believes in intelligent design and that there has to be a creator because there's a creation. And he makes a strong case for that. So thanks for calling in on that. We have John from Pennsylvania. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, and I really, really, really appreciate the exhortation you've given. Here's some of the reasons I appreciate that so much. The Scripture says that perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of men, everything, won't receive sound doctrine, heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. And you reminded us, and Paul said this, Paul says, I know you know this, but as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'll stir up to your remembrance these things. And stirring up the remembrance to Gideon and the deeds he did and the odds that he was against and yeah. David and what he did, it just rejoices the heart a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for that exhortation. And just listening to the last caller on science and everything, God made science. God made oxygen. He made hydrogen. You stick both of those together, they make water. You separate those, and each one of those is explosive. Oxygen's explosive. Hydrogen's explosive. So God put those together. Anything about science, he did. We don't have to be afraid of science or anything. Right. We have to remember that we came here naked, and everything that we need to live was already waiting here for us. He rules in the kingdom of men, thus saith the Lord. And just praise God for your exhortation.
Amen.
Keep it up, brother.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that so much. Ann in Mississippi. Ann, we just have 60 seconds.
What do you do? A friend has a gay partner with a child. They might want to stay at their home. The power goes out. I mean, Ephesians 5 says have nothing to do with things like that. What do you do? You love your child. They even have a grandchild he didn't know about.
Great question, difficult question, and I'm not going to be able to answer it in just 20 seconds, but I will come back to that hopefully tomorrow, and maybe you could call in again and we can discuss that, because I'd like to do that. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's a joy to get to speak to you every morning on American Family Radio. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and stand strong in the truth. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.